All right, it's time for us to get to Kent Nightshirt in the Garden, brought to you by Nightshirt's Greenhouse and Florist. And today, in addition to talking about gorgeous weather that we've got here for gardeners, this is just absolutely perfect for them to get out and get in the garden, to get going. But even with the sunshine, we want to get in the shade once in a while.
Made in the
right?
shade, yeah. Yeah, we get out and mow the lawn and get everything still on. One of the questions that a lot of people have when they come in is, what plants can I grow in the shade? Mm-hmm. And the first thing that I try to determine then is, you know, what is their concept of shade? Because if I'm standing under an umbrella, the sun's not hitting me, but it's awful bright under there. If I'm standing on the north side of my house, most often shade sun doesn't hit that area, but again, it's pretty bright. So we have to determine what the light intensity is. It really doesn't matter if sun hits the plant or not. It's just how what kind of light intensity you have to grow those plants there. So once we've made that decision, then we can decide what kind of plants to go in there. As I said, the north side of a house, probably in most homes, if it's not shaded by additional trees or other houses that block light, probably you can put full sun annuals in that area and get them to perform just fine. It also is a great place to put those shade loving annuals like impatiens, because impatiens in fact do even better if they're getting as much light as possible. I've seen them perform well in full sun areas under certain conditions, and mainly that's where they get plenty of moisture. Often if they're in a long sprinkling system that puts water on them late in the afternoon and helps to cool them down. I think it's not so much the light intensity, it's the heat that you get build up from that bright sun that you get in the mid-afternoon and late afternoon that gives you a problem. So we're looking at plants that can tolerate those shady areas, and one of the most popular families of plants are hostas. In general, most hostas don't like sun, but there are a few varieties that do tolerate full sun. They generally prefer to have at least some protection from the sun. They are a great plant to put in those areas that are heavily shaded, and there's just I think it's interesting that people come and say, I have the one with the white edge around it. Well, there are just literally thousands of varieties of hostas, and there are crazy people out who spend all their time trying to develop new varieties of hostas by crossbreeding and trying to introduce them. So there are just hundreds and hundreds of different varieties of hostas you can use. Often we find that it's when we're trying to shade garden, it's not the shade itself that gives you the problem. It's the fact that the tree that's providing the shade has a root system in that area that just is superior in its ability to extract water and nutrients from the soil, and so plants that you're trying to grow there can't compete, and they don't get enough moisture, they don't get enough nutrients. So one of the things you can do is be sure that things that you have there get plenty of water in addition to what Mother Nature provides, and probably some little extra fertilizer. If you're trying to grow up under some of the maple trees, it's almost a losing battle because the roots of the maple tree are so dense and fibrous in that area. I've seen people put raised flower beds on top of the ground under a maple tree, and in about 2 years it is just packed full of little fibrous roots up there, because that's where the moisture and the nutrients are, and they goes and gets it. So often what we recommendation is, let's just put mulch under there. Take a bark mulch of some sort, whatever type you like, and let's just mulch it and pretend it's the forest floor and there's nothing there. So what we give, we don't have weed competition. We don't have sparse looking grass that it's hard to make look good. We make it look like we intentionally took all the grass out. And then we put some planters on top of the ground, some large pots, and put them on top of the ground and give you flower color that way. Or we put some large boulders there, or we put a piece of driftwood there, or we put a piece of artwork there, or maybe we even put a hammock there that's close by the nearest drinking station in your house, so that it's a place to enjoy the shade. We can put some, if those trees are pretty dense in shade, one of the things we can do to help open up and get more light there is limb the tree up. We remove that bottom layer of limbs so that more light can penetrate from the side. It's not going to get more light down through the tree. It's just going to allow some more light to come in from the side of the tree, and that's going to give it allow me to grow some more of those shade tolerating plants. There are some understory trees that work nice in those areas. Dogwood is a tree that if we find in it where it's at in Mother Nature, it's usually found at the edge of the forest where we don't have quite as dense a shade, but it gets some protection from the light. The redbud trees, some of the beech do nicely in those understory areas. And we have a whole range of dwarf conifers that do well in those types of areas. The hemlocks in general like a shaded area. They grow in the more dense portions of the forest often. There are a few hemlocks that will tolerate full sun, but most of them like those areas where we get a little break from the sun. And they're just, once you decide you become addicted to conifers, again, it's like hostas. There are just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them that you can get that will grow nicely in our area.
All right. Kent Neitzert in the garden with us this morning. Questions for Kent, whether it's about shade gardening or anything else, 279-1590. That's the number to call. 279-1590 for Kent Neitzert in the garden.
Here's to you, Mrs. Robinson, the lyrics to Simon and Garfunkel's song for the 1967 movie The Graduate. If you have a graduate in your family this year and are planning a graduation open house, Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist wants to help you with the decorations. Anything from flowers for your landscape to small flower pots for table decorations to exquisite arrangements for the food table, call Neitzert's today at 278-4148 for advice and help making your graduation open house an event to remember. It doesn't happen often, so when it does, you want to celebrate right. Let Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist help you with your special day for The Graduate.
About 2 minutes in front of 8 o'clock now at AM 1590 and FM 95.5 WTVB. Kent Neitzert from Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist in the studio with us talking about shade gardening today. And we've talked about some of those plants and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I noticed when you go to buy grass seed, there are also different types of grass seed. Mm-hmm. How important is that to get shade seed or full sun seed or is it just more of a marketing?
No, it's important if you want to have grass there. There are certain varieties of grass, of what we call grass, turf grasses, that will tolerate shade. Your Kentucky bluegrass, which is generally a major percentage of the grass we find in sunny lawn mixes, don't do well in the shade, and there are some varieties that do better in shade. And so what happens is most grass mixes that we buy are a mix of a bluegrass of some sort, some tall fescues, some perennial ryegrass, and each of those varieties has the type of conditions that they like best. And so what generally happens is that in shady lawn grass mixes, we'll have a higher percent of shade-loving grasses and a lower percent of the sun-loving grasses. So at those mixtures allow you to, if I've got a shady area, to put that in, and the edges of that shady area where we get a little more sun, the sun-loving grass, turf grasses, can predominate a little bit more. So I think it's important that we do that. I think it's important when I try to recommend to people, if I'm going to take the time to prep the lawn and do all the work to put grass in, we don't skimp on the seed, because turfs last a long time. Some of the lawns in Europe are hundreds of years old and they just get mowed every year. So 100 years from now, or even 10 years from now, you'd like that lawn that you've spent all that time on to look nice. So, you know, if instead of paying $1.39 a pound, you pay $1.79 a pound and you maybe put in 20 pounds, that's not a lot of expense difference. So look for a good premium quality lawn seed. Doesn't have to be a trade name like Scott's or something, but just a good blend, and do the prep work to make that soil work for you.
I have one section of our lawn until I mowed this week was all white clover.
Yeah,
over it. Well, is there a way to get? It seemed like it would insist that one section that it's taken over.
Yeah, and it will. That section will get bigger and bigger. Now the nice thing is that clover is a broadleaf, and broadleaves and grasses or narrow leaf plants have different physiology, so that chemists have figured out ways of attacking broadleaves that with herbicides. We have broadleaf herbicides, 2,4-D is one. I like to use a chemical called Trimec, which is the TRI. Tri stands for three. There's three different broadleaf herbicides mixed together in there, and it works fairly well at controlling broadleaves in your lawn. It definitely has a minor effect on grasses, but because of the physiological differences in the plant, it doesn't kill the grasses. Unless you're putting it on really young grass mixes, then grass seeding, then you have to be a little bit careful. But clover can be taken out. Sometimes it's a little difficult. It may take a couple of different applications, maybe one in the spring, that kind of makes it sick and puts it back on its heels. And then we may have to come back in the late summer or early fall and hit it again to try and get it under control. So those, if we have weed problems in our lawns, that's one of the things we need to do. Is if you want to have that look like the fairway at the golf course, you got to get rid of those weeds, because they will tend to be stronger and more adept at growing than the grass.
It'll keep spreading.
It'll get better. It'll get bigger.
Okay.
Yeah, and from a distance, it looks nice. It's nice and green, and it's pretty clover. And maybe that's, you know, and that I've seen people, I've actually planted a piece of my lawn to clover one year to try and attract food for the honeybees. Kind of a mistake, but, you know, we all learn from our mistakes.
All right. Well, during the week, you can catch him at the greenhouse 1.5 miles south of U.S. 12 on Fisk Road. Thursday mornings, catch him here on the radio for any advice you might need in the garden. It's Kent Neitzert with us from Neitzert's Greenhouse and Florist.